Hey Brian, hey Rick, Shooter McGavin here on a Masters weekend, day two. Wow. So I heard your From the Tips podcast is kind of badass.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of From the Tips. It's me, your boy Brian, always joined by my fantastic co-host Rick Landis. The world is crumbling around us right now. I am upset. This sucks. I don't like this. This is leave it to Aaron Nola. Leave it to Aaron Nola to absolutely shit the bed. And that's just gonna go down as his as the story of Aaron Nola as a Philadelphia Philly. Always when the lights were the brightest.
Yeah,
he failed. Almost every
time. Yeah, the issue is for those that maybe don't pay attention to baseball, which this is a golf podcast, so you might not.
You might not, and that's fine.
We're recording in the middle of the Phillies game right now, and Nola is absolutely getting shredded like a block of cheese.
Oh, yeah.
And we're in the top of the second, and there's already a guy in the bullpen warming up. So 40, that just shows pitches. You how it's going right now.
Oh, man.
Things have been better.
Yeah, definitely have.
Hopefully we can come back in this one, because not what you were looking for.
Not what was needed.
So hopefully Nola can get it together and then our bullpen can save the day. I don't know. Maybe you throw Suarez in there to pitch the rest of the game. I don't know at this point. Like,
yeah, but now you got to think about it. You're at a point in this game right now where you got to think about game seven already. It's a second inning and you got to already be like, well, we need Ranger for tomorrow. Yeah,
it's just a bad place to be.
Well, especially because obviously the strategy for Merrill Kelly and the Diamondbacks is do not throw anybody who's been hitting well anything to hit.
Which is bad that that's a viable strategy to win a game.
It works.
It's so bad that that's a viable strategy, though.
I mean, look, you get wins how you get wins. It's a solid strategy. But obviously, you know, not every pitch is going to go exactly the way you want it. He might miss, you know, here and there. So hopefully the guys who are doing the hitting are ready to do the hitting in those spots instead of just having that on their shoulder. So not where you want to be. 3-0 in the second. A lot of baseball, obviously. I get that. But seeing Michael Lorenzen warming up in the bullpen right now is not what I want to see. No, not even.
You know what you do want to see? Flyers.
The Flyers. No one's talking about this. First in the Metro.
You guys thought I was going to say something about golf. I'm not.
Absolutely not.
About the Flyers.
Absolutely
because
not.
We lost in overtime to the Dallas Stars on Saturday, and I'm hyped. I'm excited about that.
A full-blown cup contender in the Dallas Stars, by the way. Their rebuild's completely over. They have one of the best goaltenders in the league. Jason Robertson's one of the most exciting forwards in the entire NHL. And they let us come back in the third and steal a point?
With three shorthanded goals.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
That's very exciting, to say the least. I mean,
so
not just three shorties, but then to do it all in the span of the third period after, you know, you're there pretty much right for the L and the boys just don't quit. And I think that's the best part about Flyers hockey right now. They might be bad. And that time will definitely tell. They will be bad. I know this is very exciting out of the start. There's going to be ups. There's going to be downs. There's going to be no consistency whatsoever. And that's expected. We know this. We're already prepared emotionally for it. But right now, they're looking like they're playing just dumb enough to win games against good teams. Now, of course, tomorrow, or the day you're listening to this, Tuesday, they play the Vegas Golden Knights, who are a 6-0-0 currently and coming off of a Stanley Cup championship. So
not super high hopes for that one.
No. But if they do it,
we're gonna enjoy it while it's here.
If they knock off the Vegas Golden Knights, I mean don't start giving
me we got a conversation to have.
Couple of conversations to have if they knock off the Vegas Golden Knights. Obviously, hot start to the season, which is going to be a tumultuous one. But I like the fact that the plan is, I don't care who you are, if there's people playing better than you, you're getting healthy scratched, i.e. Morgan Frost.
I'm cool with it.
Yeah, I love it. I think that that's in sports in general, at least team sports, that is. I feel like that's something that has just been so forgotten about, that you want to put your best players out there, no matter what their contracts look like, what their name is, what last season was for them, right? Yeah. Like, I fully expect if Sean Couturier and Cam Atkinson fall back down to planet Earth after playing really hot these first couple of games, I fully expect if they need to be healthy scratched because somebody like Tyson Forrester or Noah Cates or Morgan Frost is playing better, fully expect them to either healthy scratch one of the veterans or move them down the lines, you know, just because that's the kind of season that this team's going to be having. It's a rebuild, and we all understand that. But we digress. Let's talk about some golf, shall we? I mean, well, obviously, let's talk about today in sports history, first and foremost. I believe...
I'm going to be honest with you. I got nothing. I got...
I have one. I actually have one.
Okay, cool, because I got the Phillies game on my phone right now, and I got the PGA Tour app up on my iPad. So I got no screen availability right now. Got nothing.
No screens. No screens for anybody. Now, I have one today, and it is Phillies related. A year ago, Bryce Harper hit a monster shot opposite way against the San Diego Padres to punch the Phillies tickets to the World Series as of last year. That was a year ago today. Book it.
I would love to have that happen again tonight. I'm not.
That would be phenomenal. Now let's not forget in that game, the Padres got off to a hot start. I think Manny Machado hit a 2-run home run, make it 2-0 early.
They were definitely down in that game. I don't remember how far down, but they were down for sure.
I don't think they were ever down more than two, but I do remember Manny Machado hitting that home run early in the game and thinking that he might have done something, which was real cute.
But if we learned anything from the Braves series, we're just doing a full repeat of last postseason. So
yeah, like, we're trying
down
to run
the
it back.
Down to the pitches, like
yeah, we're trying to run it back, and I love the idea of running it all the way back, except having the outcome at the end just be a smudge different, just a teensy
just
little
on
bit
the
different.
Other side of things.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I mean, obviously, right now, I'm not even talking about the World Series. Okay, we have to beat the Diamondbacks right now.
Yeah, okay? We got to get out of the series first,
which is clearly a difficult task. You knew that it was going to happen though. They were a frisky team coming into this. They swept the Dodgers. Let's not forget.
Yeah, exactly.
They swept
exactly.
The Dodgers. Okay, that's a tough team. All right.
Yeah.
They have perennial MVP candidates, Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman. And this pitching staff locked them completely down.
Yeah.
And they were able to score runs on a vaunted Dodgers pitching staff. So
for some reason, Phillies fans expected the series to be a 4-game series. Don't
everybody
really
was like,
where that came from, but
no. Especially once they lost game four. I was like, we're doing this now.
I had a feeling it was going to be at least 6 from the start. Because it's that point, you're at that point in the season, like you're just not going to be seeing 4-game series.
Yeah.
Like there's a reason teams are where they're at this point of the year.
Yeah, and you know you could have said the same thing about Houston and Texas. You look at a team like Houston, you have your baby brother coming into your house, your NLCS, because you've owned it for the last 7 years.
Yeah,
and you're like, maybe freaking easy, you know? And Texas said, "Nah, homie."
Yeah.
That series is weird because the home teams have not won at all the entire series.
Yeah.
So we'll find out. We will see what transpires with that series. We'll see what transpires with this Philly series. But
speaking
I digress,
of flipping the script,
let's talk about that golf.
Colin Morikawa.
Dog.
Flip the shit out of that script.
Oh boy, did he! Colin Morikawa getting his first win since 2021. That feels like wrong to say out loud.
Feels like eons ago that Colin Morikawa was holding up a trophy.
I know, and like I thought about it, I was like, no, there's no way he hasn't had a win in 2 years. I look and I'm like, oh my god, it has been so brutally bad for him. I mean, a really great stretch here since the end of last year, a T13, T25, T6, W. That's pretty good stuff there.
Yeah.
The biggest thing for him and the biggest reason he's been through this slump in the first place, though, that putting. That putting has been abysmal.
Hasn't been there.
And it's not even like it's just the stats, the numbers. If you just like watched him golf, he would put himself in such great situations to make a birdie or start making a run at a top 10, top five finish. He'd be hitting greens in regulation, no issues. Has the accuracy out of the tee box. We know this. He's not the heaviest hitter in the world, but he finds fairways. He puts himself in good positions. Cannot one putt. Always seem to be two putting and three putting in some cases.
Yeah.
In just the worst spots that you could imagine. So it's really freeing as a Colin Morikawa fan to see him get to that final and be able to bring it home. Not only just bring it home, but in commanding fashion. He is a 14 under for the tournament, and second place was 8 under. Shot a 63 on Sunday, a Sunday 63 of all things. That's stellar. Right now he sits currently as the number 13 player in the world and number 6 in the FedEx Cup points. Mm-hmm. This is a guy that has yet to crack the top 10 of the official world golf rank in his career. And you would think at this point that he would have that. Do you think that with his newfound, you know, putting, his better confidence, his better play as of recent, do you think in the next 2 years that we see Colin Morikawa crack the top 10 of the official world golf rankings?
I got to see a little bit more out of him, to be honest. This is a step in the right direction. We talk all the time about how this time of year is the lower level guys, the JJ Spawn, the Emiliano Grillo, like the guys that you're not expecting to go anywhere in the FedEx Cup rankings. And to see a guy like Colin Morikawa, who everybody knows his name, like even people who don't follow golf, you say Colin Morikawa, you know who Colin Morikawa is.
Mm-hmm.
To see him playing in a tournament like this is kind of nerve-wracking in a way at first, because you're like, why is he here? Like, none of the other big names are still playing. They're going to be back in a few weeks, probably. Well, I guess probably next week with Tiger's tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, no one's really doing anything, and he's here. But he wins, and he wins in commanding fashion, which is, I think, a huge positive, because if we had seen him not win in commanding fashion, like if it was like one stroke, maybe I might be a little bit nervous. But the fact that he won by 6 strokes, it makes you feel good.
Yeah, I mean, remember, he's a major winner, you know, like he did that. He's won on the biggest stages twice, a PGA Championship in 2020 and the Open in 2021. Oh, yeah, the Marshy double.
I hate that I'm behind you right now, because I want to be able to celebrate like as it's happening.
dude, I know. I'm like, I want to like immediately react to things, and I can't.
That was really good though, that you didn't react.
Right? I'm proud of myself.
That was good acting. Yeah, that was good acting.
Under this like bottom portion of this box here, I was like doing this shit.
Yeah,
completely missing fist pounds and stuff. Yeah, yeah. The way that you can fool somebody in a Zoom meeting is actually kind of scary.
Just show your face.
The whole working from home thing. But I digress. He's won 2 majors, right?
Yeah.
So he's done this before, and it's just a bad stretch. I mean, all of us know, even professionals, that golf is the great equalizer. You can be incredible at it.
Yeah.
And you can go through like a 3 to 5 year stretch where you just cannot find it. Ask Jordan Spieth.
Yeah.
He was nowhere to be found from like 2016 to 2020.
Yeah,
he was a non-factor. The only factor he had
before that, he was winning majors all over the place,
left and right. He was gunning for the youngest Grand Slam, career Grand Slam since Tiger.
Yeah.
And then the only thing that he was really known for about a 4 year stretch was Under Armour ads, and that was about it. But he's back, and that, because golf can do that for you. It's mostly a sport about failure, a lot like baseball in a way.
Yeah.
But it can come back out of nowhere. And I think we might be seeing that from Colin Morikawa, which is really great to see because of where he is amongst the golfers. He's of that higher echelon golfer, but he's young enough to be considered one of the rising stars. But he's also like, he's in all the committees. He's like a part of the players committee. He's part of the players union. You know, he's involved with stuff that Tiger does. He's involved with stuff that Rory does. He's one of the mainstay faces of the PGA Tour, and you like to see those guys succeed because it's good for the tour, you know?
Yeah.
But It remains to be seen if we'll see a surge out of him this season, but getting points early is very good. He got emotional post round about the win, which he deserves to. I mean,
yeah,
he,
I mean, it's been 2 years.
2 years, and he was struggling. You know, not just the fact that obviously the golf wasn't going super well, but you know, he was talking about post round. He said that his game was mostly being affected because he would just continue to get frustrated. He said, quote, "This year has been fairly stressful, a little frustrating at the same time, but that's why I came to these, tournaments, to come out here and play well and hopefully win." I mean, basically exactly what you said. You have a guy that usually doesn't play in these kind of tournaments early in the season, but he understands that if he has a similar season to what he had last year, well, then you're off to a really rough start and you're trying to get out, you know? And this is a guy that you expect in the FedEx Cup Championship, not battling to make those last three tournaments. So
yeah,
off to a hot start, which I love to see from a guy like Colin Morikawa, just because, again, good for golf. And I think that's how we should be looking at it right now. When you have these kind of guys win early season, I think that's honestly probably a couple other guys should maybe take note a little bit.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, it's really good for golf in general, but I think it's a good move for Morikawa to get his confidence up early on in the season. And I'll just say this, I am as hopeful as anybody that this is his version of Jordan Spieth's win in Texas 2 years ago when he hopped back onto the map. Obviously not quite as long of a drought, but the good thing about golf is you can play until you're dead, basically.
Yep.
And we've seen recently that you can play on the PGA Tour until you're in your 40s.
Uh-huh.
So the fact that he's so young, and if this is his only drought that he has throughout his career, even if he has another short one, like, there's so much time for him to get these wins and everything like that. He just needs to keep his head down, realize that he's a good player, and not get discouraged. And going to tournaments like this and dominating and beating guys that you know you should beat is a great way to get your confidence back up. And I think, I'm hopeful, and I'm going to say with some confidence that I think this is going to do what it needs to do for him.
I completely agree, especially just because of the way that he wound up winning. The putting stats were better. He was still good on his approach, and he was still finding, you know, some fairways, but not as many as he usually did. So the fact that kind of the game around his mainstays improved. And I think that's something to build on for his confidence throughout the year. And, you know, you could say that playing in these smaller tournaments early season is like getting called down to the minors or whatever, but hey, it works for a lot of players, you know, in all sports. You know, it's like the whole point of getting sent back down is to gain your confidence to come back.
Exactly.
It's the same basic principle here. All right. To keep on keeping on, Tiger has announced the field for the Hero, the Tiger hosted event that happens pretty much early every season. Not only has he announced it, but he has filled 17 of 18 spots and leaving that one for a, quote, TBA tournament exemption. Now, last year, that tournament exemption was Tiger, and unfortunately, he had to withdraw. Do you think, Rick, is there a shot that he fills that spot this year?
I don't know. I feel like, and as shocking as it is to say it, like, we haven't heard from Tiger in what feels like months.
Yeah, in a little bit. And I expected to hear a little bit from him when the Ryder Cup was at.
Like, I feel like we haven't heard anything from him.
Yeah.
Let alone any information on where he might be physically and, like, as far as coming back to golf and playing. So I find it kind of hard to believe that he would be doing that. I don't really know. I don't think it's going to be him, but I also have no idea who it will be.
Well, if it's not him, you'd have to expect, like, could be Charlie, you know. I feel like
that would be wild.
Charlie Woods than Tiger in the last couple months. But I really, I get what you're saying, and that does make sense, but I feel hard pressed for it to not be Tiger. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I mean, like, he's probably holding out hope that he'll feel physically okay to do it. But again, we haven't heard anything. And throughout all of his rehab from the car accident and everything, like, we've had updates along the way and we've known exactly what's been going on, where he's at physically, where he thinks he can get to in a golf round. And we have no information on that right now. So to think that we would have none of that information, then he would just come back out of nowhere and just play in this tournament, I just find it very hard to believe. It would be good, obviously. Like, it would be good to see, obviously. But
phenomenal.
I'm just hard pressed to think that it's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason that I really think it's going to happen is because obviously he's been very honest with his opinion about where his career is. He said right now the Masters and majors are his focus. And you kind of have to think though at this point in his career that the PNC with his son and his own tournament that he hosts are probably rising on his list of priorities, right? So I feel like if it's not this year, then definitely next year, but I'm interested to see who this to be determined, tournament exemption is, if it's not him and or Charlie.
Yeah.
It'd be kick ass if it was Charlie though. Cause that dude,
Yeah. It'd be really cool.
That dude is dominating right now on the junior tour. Like I feel like every single time I hear that he's playing, he's winning every single time. I mean, look, there's obviously a lot of stress on somebody's shoulders when you're Tiger Woods' son and you're a golfer, but he's living up to the hype right now. He's up to the hype.
I mean, we'll see. You want to go through the rest of the guys that are already confirmed, though?
There we are. The other players who are confirmed. There is... Do you have the list? I just lost it. Where's that tab?
I do not.
Hold on. I gotta bring. Jeez Louise.
Let me get it. Let me get it.
Hold on, man.
Hold on. Where, hold up.
Damn it. Well, hold up. Wait a minute.
Something ain't right here.
Something ain't right here. Nope.
This is great podcasting.
I mean, yeah, this is
proud of us.
Do you guys like the dead silence? Is that right. I got it now. All right, here is the field. Is this last year's field? What the hell?
No way, we don't have the field.
No information available for this page. What? Y'all crazy. But that's last year's.
Rob, where are you?
Where are you? I'm over here.
Oh, where are you here?
What the heck? Oh.
All right, I got it.
Did you have it?
I got it.
There it is. Okay. I also got it. Just on time. Hope everybody enjoyed
perfect.
The silence there. That was
and great. We're back. Hope you enjoyed our ad read.
All right.
You want to go through it or do you want me to go through it?
If you have it, feel free.
Yeah, I'll go through it. So we got Scottie Scheffler, Victor Hovland, Patrick Cantlay, Xander Schauffele, Max Homa, Matty Fitz, Brian Harman, Wyndham Clark, Jordan Spieth, Cameron Young, Keegan Bradley, Colin Morikawa, Tony Finau, Sam Burns, Jason Day, Sepp Straka, Will Zalatoris, feel like we haven't heard from him in forever. And our tournament exemptions that we have so far are Ricky Fowler and Justin Thomas, with the last one being TBA, like you said.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I could be wrong. Did Will Zalatoris go over to live? Did that happen? Or is he just injured still?
No, he's been injured.
Yeah. So
he got injured last year and he was out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, so seeing Will Zalatoris' name on this list is a feel-good moment because...
It is, yeah.
Again, like you said, haven't heard from him in what feels like eons.
Yeah, again, one of those things, like, you would have thought we would have heard something about, like, his rehab process and stuff like that, and when we might see him again with how much he bursted onto the scene. But good to see him back, especially in a tournament like this where you're handpicked.
Yeah, I mean, handpicked by none other than Tiger Woods
Yeah.
Himself. And Wills Zalatoris gets an official spot where Justin Thomas and Ricky Fowler are tournament exemptions.
That's really funny.
That's really funny. That he just Tiger Woods just looked Justin Thomas in the face and went, I saw that performance at the Ryder Cup.
You didn't deserve to be there.
You're terrible.
I told Zach not to pick you.
Yeah. Another name I love to see on this list for whatever reason. Give me Brian Harmon on this list.
I knew you were going to say that.
I mean, I just love that. I love that so much.
He's
just,
good. I mean, he's one of the, he's like probably one of the most under the radar people.
100%.
Like he just plays well all the time, especially in the FedEx Cup.
Yeah.
And no one talks about him.
He's number 9 in the world right now.
I don't know if it's just because people look right over top of him.
That's fair.
What's going on there, but.
But a short joke that just happened there?
Yes, it was.
Was that a little Brian Harmon short joke
he's
for you?
He's a very short man. I don't know.
He's a short dude. He's a short dude. He's the ninth best golfer in the world right now. So
yeah, I mean, it's not false.
That speaks for itself. He might not be 6 foot, but my man can golf. It's just a good name to see there. Again, this is just a list of dogs. You know, these are just dudes.
Just good golfers. It's going to be really good golf to watch.
It's going to be great golf to watch. It pretty much is every time. Good reason.
Yeah.
But you know, you got the world number one, world number two. John Rahm on this list. I'm seeing.
Nope, I did not see him.
No John Rahm. All right, so he's got. Well, I mean, Victor Hovland being world number four right now feels like a misprint, but I guess.
Yeah, I feel like he's higher than that. No.
Yeah, well, you would think, but as of when the field was announced, he was fourth in the world. Hmm. It feels like an oversight a little bit on how points are registered, but we've been through this before.
We've been
weird. Guys stay in spots that they really shouldn't be staying in for far too long. We've talked about this up and down the wall.
Yeah.
But obviously that's going to be a great tournament, and I think it would be cool if Tiger played this year. I don't expect the play to be great, but it'd be cool if he did, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Who do you got taking it home this week?
For this tournament or for the
yeah.
or for the oh, I mean that's at the end of November, but
it's the end of November. For some reason I thought it was coming up.
It is. It's on the schedule. It's soon. But no.
I thought it was sooner than the end of November.
Yeah, it's November 30th to December 3rd.
Gotcha. Okay. So we got even time until he announces.
Plenty of time. That's what I'm saying is I really think that like he could pop off some rehab in the next month and get.
Yeah, we're going to see a random Tiger tweet in like a week about him taking a swing or something.
And it's going to be the random Tiger tweets that aren't actually tweets. It's an image with like an official Tiger stamp, a seal. Just because he doesn't tweet anymore. It's just statements on his Twitter.
Yeah.
Which I guess when you're Tiger Woods, you could do that. That makes a lot of sense. Sure. It feels like you have the right to do that now.
Yeah, you can just do whatever you want, really.
Yeah, pretty much. But to keep on keeping on and talking about another guy who is in the same age range as Tiger, except maybe just a little more psychopathic. Phil Mickelson is quote confident that people are going to join the LIV Tour still after the official world golf ranking points situation transpired. He was quoted saying, quote, "Do I think that? No, I know that's going to happen." End quote. Okay. First of all, not only is the future of the LIV Tour super undetermined right now, considering the whole merge situation, but it was just announced that any legacy that these golfers on that side thought that they were going to have is no longer a thing because there's no official world golf ranking points. They're just dropping out of golf history every week that they don't play on the PGA Tour. So you really think that you're going to get high profile guys to go over to LIV Tour and sign? You've got to be kidding, right?
Missed your chance.
Yeah, you had a shot, and you did capitalize a couple of times. You got some good golfers over there, you know? I respect it in a way. But now that point system hasn't gone in your favor, and there's going to be a full merger, so we don't even know if that's going to be a thing anymore on its own independently, no one's coming over. Unless he's like kind of telling a lie while also telling the truth. He's like, well, technically speaking, everybody's going to be on the live
tour. Yeah, right. Like, if he's doing one of those things, which, like, just to get attention,
he's not wrong.
Wouldn't shock me.
It wouldn't shock
wouldn't
me.
Shock me.
Now that Phil Mickelson doing things in the media to get attention? No,
that doesn't sound like him at all.
He would never. Are you kidding me? But the only thing that it doesn't have me worried, but it has me interested, is that Brandel Chamblee was reacting to Phil's comments, and he said, quote, "Rom worries me a bit because he seems open to the idea." I haven't seen any reports of John Rahm being, like, you know, in discussions with them or even talking about them other than when the media is bringing it up. So I'm not quite sure where Brandel Chamblee is getting that information. Obviously, somebody who has much closer and more accurate information than we could ever have, I'm sure. Yeah. But definitely interesting to see. It's obviously the big name, right? If he went over, that'd be huge.
It would be massive for them.
I just don't see John Rahm going over there at this point in his career, right?
I don't either. No, crazy? I mean, he's just, I feel like he's playing too well right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not only is he playing too well, but he's like top three in the world consistently every year. Like,
yeah,
that's, and he's coming off a Ryder Cup W with a bunch of guys from the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
The vibes seem really good for him right now. And I just feel like no matter how much money they're going to pay you, buddy, you're going to earn it with your play. That's good. That's going
to
happen.
Play, sponsors, all that stuff. Like, you're going to get it. Like, you don't need to worry about
it. You're
going to
earn it. Trust me. You're going to be fine.
Obviously easier said than done, but if I'm him, I'm more worried about my legacy at this point. I'm making plenty of money.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I'm probably chasing Sergio Garcia to be the most well-known Spaniard golfer of recent memory.
Right. Yeah. Then definitely gaining on Sergio fast.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
If John Rahm wins, how many majors does he have? Does he just have the one?
I believe so.
Let me look. So no, he has two majors. So he's got the U.S. Open and the Masters. I forgot about the U.S. Open win.
I did as well. I totally.
He's got the U.S. Open and the Masters. If he's already got two majors, so he's pretty much already solidified his legacy there. If he goes on to get a Grand Slam, which would not surprise me if he did.
No,
he's going to be the greatest Spaniard to ever play the game for sure. Without a doubt.
Agreed.
And you don't get that kind of opportunity when you go over and play on the live side. So that's on the table, and he knows that. I think. You know, that's not anything that's going to be a mystery to him. So. All right, to keep on keeping on, last little bit here before we talk about the worldwide technologies championship. Hell yeah. Another Netflix series, which the last one was cool. We enjoyed it. We watched it. It was fun. This one feels like a full blown gimmick, but yeah, I digress. I'll explain it here. So they're doing a live sports property. And they're calling it the Netflix Cup. So it's going to feature Ricky Fowler, Max Homa, Colin Morikawa, and Justin Thomas competing in teams alongside Formula One stars Alex Albon, Pierre Gasly, Carlos Sainz, and Lando Norris. This does not move the needle for me almost at all. And I understand what it's for, and it's not for people that watch golf.
Yeah.
It just really is.
I have pretty much no desire to watch this.
This feels like just a full-blown gimmick to me.
Full money grab.
And not only that, but like, you also have to remember, like, the Saudis have ownership in both of these properties. Like, they have ownership in Formula One, they have ownership in golf, that we definitely know they have ownership in golf. So not only does this feel like a money grab, but this feels like a Saudi money grab. Like, how much more do you need?
I don't
get it. You're basically printing the shit, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Trillions of dollars.
Right. You have trillions of dollars. You're paying all of these, you know, subpar golfers to play in your league. And realistically speaking, it's going to be cool to watch for people that don't watch golf. Even if you're fans of Formula One, they might be really into it, you know?
Yeah.
I just don't think this moves the needle for anybody that, like, consistently watches golf. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, not that the worldwide technologies really moves the needle all that much for anybody, as far as I know.
It's fair,
but it's just one of those things. Like, we don't need it. We got so much golf every week all the time.
Yeah.
the full swing was cool because it was behind the scenes of the golf season, but this is not that.
Yeah.
So it's not as interesting to the average golf fan.
Yeah. I mean, it's not only super not interesting to the average golf fan, but you're also looking at it from an outsider's perspective, or like an insider's perspective as a golf fan, and you're exhausted in a way. Yeah. You're like, okay, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. Everybody get mad at me all you want. Shrink the game. Okay. I'm starting to get the grow the game bit. That was awesome. That was fun.
We grew it. It's great.
Shrink it. It's starting to get ridiculous. Okay. We have a Netflix show that's going to have golfers golfing with race car drivers. Can we just look at that objectively and see what's happened here?
Yeah. We don't need it. Shrink it.
Shrink the game.
Move tee times apart.
Oh my gosh.
We talked about that the other week.
Started.
Oh. Yeah.
15 minutes is not enough time. I mean, 10 minutes at some courses is not enough time.
15 minutes is fine, except for most foursomes don't play 15 minutes. Like we could get a 15-minute head start and be fine. The problem is they get behind so early in the day. Like if they were like 7 a.m. first tee time, 7:20, next tee time, 7:40, and then after like 10 a.m. they started to shrink it to 15 minutes, I feel like they might be better off. But it's just like it's too close from the beginning of the day. You fall right behind.
Mm-hmm. And it's like immediate too. You know, we could talk about it all up and down the wall. You know, again, if there was a horse here, it'd be beaten to death. But we can calm down a little bit. We can.
Yeah.
I swear. Most sports have off seasons. Golf doesn't. So it's a little weird, right?
Yeah, stop. What's up?
Speaking of no off season, here we go. The Worldwide Technology Championship. Alas, Rob has yet to bless us with a power rankings here.
That's because you requested an off season. So they're blessing us with the 1 week that we have until that actually happens, because that tournament's not till November 2nd. So we have our 1 week of off season right now.
Yeah, it's not even just the 1 week of 1 week of off season. You have this is one of my personal favorites, the Butterfield Bermuda Championship. Can never forget
big tournament there.
Huge tournament. The RSM Classic and then the Hero, right? Like, so this stretch of golf, folks, it's going to be, it's going to be a little bit of a slog. You're not going to really see great golf. You're not going to see your favorite golfers out there. It's the proverbial off season. But again, we talk about it all the time. PGA Tour, anybody listening from the upper staff, we know you're here, obviously.
Yeah.
We can stop. There can be off weeks. We can have situations where golf isn't being played. It's gonna be okay.
Like, for example, now until the Hero.
Yeah. Now until the Hero, that'd be a great stretch to.
That'd be a great start.
I mean, it sounds like a good stretch to release a Netflix series. Fill that gap. Right?
A Netflix series of golfers playing golf with F1 racers?
Exactly. Precisely. But when you do both, it's overkill. Okay? One or the other. Yeah. Let's not do it twice. It's a little bit of a not a Pandora's box. That's not the word I'm looking for. It's a bit of a an overstuff, I should say.
Yeah.
A little bit like the triple stuffed Oreos or whatever. Eventually, do we need more
quadruple mega stuff
PGA Tour? I feel like we're just gonna end the episode here, because really, mentally speaking, we're locked in at a different place right now.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have a tournament coming up this week. We'll be back next week to preview the Worldwide Technologies. Mm-hmm. Probably gonna be another short one. Yeah, I mean, are we even going to be? Yeah, we'll be here next week to preview it.
Yeah.
And then the next week we will not be recording, because we'll be away.
Indeed. Yes. We will be away for a fun little time. that we are going to have. It is going to be Rick's bachelor party. So he doesn't know where we're going yet, and I'm not going to tell him until days before, because obviously he needs to pack, right? If you didn't have to pack, I would just surprise you the whole way.
Gina offered to pack.
Make you get in the car. Hey, if you want to do that, and I just shove you in the car, and we go, totally up to you.
Fine by me, I don't care.
You're in? All right, I'll tell Gina. I think she already knows what she needs to pack. I think she has a general idea. So maybe we're just going to pack you up.
That's fine.
Get in I'm the cool car. We're going. All right.
So next week, Worldwide Technologies. Super excited. We'll talk about it. It'll be quick. It'll be easy. We'll probably be talking about other stuff too, because that's just how we roll.
That's how we do it. That's how we do it.
But yeah, we're back for that. So thanks again for listening. Follow us on the gram at @FromTheTips_pod, correct?
Bang.
And on X.
Yeah.
We're on X. At @FTT_pod. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm so good at this.
Come on now. Come on now. Bring it up. Bring it up.
That's, I see.
You had it. All right. As always, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we out.
Thanks, guys. See you later.